Hey, this is getting all too common here at the end of our podcast, but I just want to stick an apology here before the outset of this episode. This is another jerry-rigged offering thrown together to fill a gap. I apologize for the quality and the short runtime. Now on with the show. Welcome. Please accept this invitation to join me as I once again ask, what do you think about... Hey, listener, what do you think about tulpas?
What?
You mean to tell me you don't know what a tulpa is?
No. What is it?
Well, shove your earbuds in tight and settle back in your chair. And clear your freaking mind, because I don't want you to create a tulpa while you're listening to this episode. A tulpa is basically a physical manifestation of thought. Intense thought, not just errant notions. The website tulpa.info defines the term as follows. A tulpa is an entity created in the mind, acting independently of and parallel to your own consciousness. They are able to think and have their own free will, emotions, and memories. In short, a tulpa is like a sentient person living in your head, separate from you. According to Wikipedia, the theosophist Annie Besant, in the 1905 book Thought Forms, divides them into three classes. Forms in the shape of the person who creates them, forms that resemble objects or people and may become ensouled by nature spirits or by the dead, and forms that represent inherent qualities from the astral or mental planes, such as emotions. I also read online that the word tulpa is derived from the Tibetan words sprupa, which supposedly mean to let emanations go forth. But I was unable to verify this definition as fact. Of course, the internet wouldn't lie, right? So, taking all that into consideration, you get the drift, right?
Yes, we do.
Great. That means we can move on to the next topic. How to make your own tulpa for fun and profit. Just so you know, I spelled profit there as P-R-O-P-H-E-T rather than P-R-O-F-I-T. WikiHow.com/create-a-tulpa outlines 14 easy steps, complete with illustrations, involved in the creation of a tulpa. Part 1 is the planning phase, step 1 of which is think long and hard before you create a tulpa. Step 2 is plan out your tulpa. Step 3 is plan your tulpa's appearance. Personally, I don't understand why these are listed as three separate steps, but they are. I mean, while you're thinking how long and hard your tulpa will be, I think you would include visualizing the creature's appearance and personality traits as well, right? I mean, you're fucking thinking of the thing, and those are part of the whole, so I would think they would just come into play, but I never made a fucking tulpa. Phase 2 is visualization of the tulpa. Step 1 here is, oddly enough, visualization. The instructions state, visualize your tulpa. Sit down and close your eyes. Imagine your tulpa in your head. Look at them from any possible angle you can think of. Try to visualize every detail of their appearance. Be patient and take time visualizing them. Step 2 is try to touch your tulpa in your imagination. Step three is create a scent, if you wish.
Ew.
Step four is visualize your tulpa's movements. Imagine how your tulpa moves and walks. Think about the gestures they use. Work on their expressions last. Step five of phase two is called Wonderlands. If you want to, you can create a place in your imagination called a Wonderland. This is basically a workshop for you to tinker on your tulpa. And it's also a little domain in which your tulpa can live. Phase three is visualization of the tulpa. Not to be confused with phase two, which was visualization of the tulpa. Wait a minute. That has to be fucking wrong. Just a second. Yeah, that was fucking wrong. Phase three is narration. Step one here is talk to your tulpa either by speaking aloud or carrying on a mental conversation with the creation. Step two states, after your tulpa talks, you can choose a voice for it if it hasn't created one for itself. Well, this is a bit confusing because if it does speak, wouldn't that mean that it has already chosen a voice for itself? And wouldn't it be rude to overwrite the tulpa's choice, even if it has an annoying pitch and timbre?
You bet your ass it would.
Checking the tulpa for sentience is listed as phase four. To do this, simply close your eyes and let your newborn tulpa know that your mind is open for business and they're welcome to intrude and communicate therein. To help facilitate this, imagine the tulpa walking into your subconscious through a doorway. P.S. This caution is given. Don't do this right away. You know, hold off a bit until there's trust built between you two. That way the tulpa won't take you for granted. Personally, I think this information should have been provided first, because there are idiots like me who just rush into things without first reading the instructions through and understanding them. The site lists the following as signs of sentience in a tulpa. The tulpa talks back to you with full sentences and states their own opinions. They communicate with you through other means, such as emotions. And thirdly, the tulpa does things you didn't expect them to do. Basically, they start acting with free will, I guess. Phase five is moving your tulpa into reality. To achieve this step, the site recommends that you and your tulpa go for a stroll. Just imagine your tulpa following along behind you, which is kind of rude on your part. Why not consider your tulpa an equal and allow him to walk with you? Once you have successfully completed this phase, you will be able to detect the presence of your tulpa. Lastly, phase six is this: visiting tulpa forums. Personally, I would skip this step in order to prevent my mind and my tulpa from being polluted by the views of other idiots. Before we continue, let's pause here for a word about Anchor Podcasting. And we are back. At this point, I'm sure you're wanting to ask,
Jim, why would I create a tulpa in the first place?
There are a few reasons I was able to unearth, which will serve as answers to your question. To have a bestie that's better than any human being or pet, because you created it to your specifications. To satisfy your curiosity as to whether this can actually be done. To have a servant at your beck and call. To have a cohort who will execute some action that you are reluctant to do yourself. And, just throwing this out there, if you're unlucky in love, you might want to create a tulpa to help in that arena.
Oh. Mm. Mm. Mm.
But don't let this list restrict your desires or reasons. Feel free to come up with your own rationale. So, you know, I was wondering, if tulpas are created by thought, intense thought, what if there were a topic many, many people thought of in varying degrees of intensity? Could all that thought power on one subject inadvertently create one, or many, tulpas? Specifically, I am thinking of the cryptids found throughout the world. Could the mental powers of all the believers through the centuries have created things such as the Loch Ness Monster or the Abominable Snowman or even Bigfoot? And what about ghosts? If you go to a haunted location and are really geared up and freaked out about seeing a ghost and you're really, really thinking about ghosts hard, maybe you create your own apparition. Think about it. There has been a lot of cognitive energy spent thinking about these mysteries. So, just maybe. I'm sure other minds greater than mine have thought about this too. It's too good of an idea to be original to me. In the 1981 novel, Who Censored Roger Rabbit? By Gary K. Wolfe, which served as the template for Disney's 1988 movie, Who Framed Roger Rabbit? The reader learns at the end of the story that, spoiler alert for a 41-year-old book, Roger is dead and the character that has been acting in Roger's guise is actually a form of tulpa created by Roger Rabbit before he died. In the book, the cartoon characters would mentally create duplicates, which they called doppelgangers, of themselves to act as stuntmen. The doppelgangers usually faded away after a few hours. However, when creating his last doppelganger, quote, the real Roger put an extra amount of effort into making a bang-on duplicate of himself. This special tulpa was able to exist for a couple of days. Read the book. It's pretty good and is different from the movie. I hope you enjoyed this. It's short and sweet, just like me. And hey, you might just have been witness to the solving of the mystery of every cryptid. They're goddamn tulpas. This has been What Do You Think About? Our theme music, In Suspense, is provided by PodSummit.com. Thanks to all you listeners. If you feel compelled to do so here at the end of our lifespan, send us an email message at wdouta@gmail.com or leave a voice message at the website anchor.fm/wdouta or visit our Facebook page, which is also anchor.fm/wdouta, and just message us there. Copyright 2022 by John Gordos and Jim Dumermuth.